Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska Department of Law is looking into allegations that Assistant Attorney General Matthias Seacott posted racist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic comments on social media. Citing The Guardian, KTOO, an Alaska Public Media report that Seacott posted under a pseudonym, but researchers found a trail of evidence regarding his identity. One of the posts said all Black Lives Matter advocates should be in prison, quote, or worse. Another said someone who participated in a drag story hour, quote, should be burned to death. And another said that parents who encourage children who are transgender should be jailed for child abuse. Seacott is an attorney with the state's Torts and Workers' Compensation section. In a statement, the Department of Law said it takes the allegations seriously and that it respects all individuals. The department said it learned about the allegations late last week and is gathering information. The statement said that because it involves a personnel issue, it is limited in its ability to comment further. Seacott did not immediately respond to a request for comment and did not respond to requests from The Guardian. Alaska scientist and educator Neil Brown has died. Brown spent his career at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, helping to launch rockets and probe the aurora, all while infecting young and old with enthusiasm for science. KUAC's Robert Hannon reports.
In 1938, Neil Brown was born into a rural farming community outside of Pullman, Washington. Speaking in 2018, he recalled the pragmatic nature of those early years. When the farm received electricity, the first two purchases were a water pump and an arc welder, and Brown received training in all the equipment.
I have a strong memory of my father mentoring me to change the brakes on a car, in which he did it and made me watch. And then progressively, he had me do more and more.
Mentorship would be a hallmark of Brown's own teaching style in later years. He was also encouraged to follow his passions, which included hot rods and ham radios. While Brown says he wasn't much of a student, his enthusiasm for science eventually caught the eye of NASA recruiters after he graduated from Washington State University Pullman in 1961.
When I walked in NASA Ames, they had no idea what to do with me.
Brown was eventually part of the team modeling the stresses on vehicles re-entering the atmosphere. Realizing he needed more education, Brown jumped at the chance to work in Thule, Greenland to earn some money for grad school. There he made friends with researchers at the Geophysical Institute and became a graduate student at UAF. He quickly impressed his professors with his can-do attitude and his mechanical facility.
Yeah, we have this piece of equipment that nobody ever made really work during the International Geophysical Year of, and it's a spectrograph. It's just too complicated. We never got it going. But you want to give it a shot? Great. And I did, and I had success with it right away.
That aptitude for hands-on research led to more work for Brown, who received his master's in geophysics in 1966. While his advisors encouraged him to pursue his doctorate, Brown's growing family and list of duties in Aurora Research and the Poker Flat Rocket Range put any educational plans aside. He would eventually be tapped by Neil Davis to supervise the range and later became its director. When he stepped down from that post in 1989, he went on sabbatical and discovered a whole new calling, science education.
We started running workshops for teachers on how better to teach science to middle school students. And I got the idea with some Fairbanks teachers that we would do something that would be called a one-week Alaska Space Academy.
The academy was a hit. Brown says in developing the curriculum, he drew on his father's style of mentoring. Students were encouraged to get physically involved in the problem solving, and he also brought the wonders of space down to Earth.
We came up with the idea of introduction to space science, and then we made comparisons between what you find on other planets and exploration in our solar system and what you find in Alaska.
Brown was a gifted communicator and a regular contributor on KUAC and other broadcast outlets, breaking down complex science into understandable terms. In 1997, UAF acknowledged his passion for communicating science by awarding him an honorary doctorate. In recent years, Brown and his wife, Fran, moved to New Hampshire to be closer to family. Earlier this month, Brown suffered a minor heart attack and underwent triple bypass surgery. He passed away a week later, surrounded by family. In 2018, Brown, reflecting on his life, said he never had a plan, only an abiding sense of wonder and enthusiasm. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
The Gold Rush-era town of Chena is the subject of a University of Alaska Fairbanks-led archaeology project. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the town site on the Tanana River in West Fairbanks provides a window on interior life over a century ago.
And so you can see these logs right here.
UAF term assistant professor Justin Cram takes a break from helping excavate the foundation of an old log cabin to explain to a visitor why he and a group of students are digging around in a wooded area off Chena Pump Road near the north bank of the Tanana River.
What we're looking at is basically the foundations of old structures, the things that were left behind after the town of Chena was abandoned.
The casual observer wouldn't know that a town with dozens of buildings and hundreds of residents once stood in what's now a swampy thicket overgrown with willow and alder. A town founded in 1902 that served as a commercial hub during the gold rush that drew hordes of miners into the interior during the first decade of the last century.
Fairbanks comes into existence just a little while later, and they become competitors.
Chena had the advantage of location. Right on the Tanana, conveniently accessible to the big river boats, and also near the mouth of the Chena River. So freight could be offloaded there and transferred onto smaller boats, which then took the goods and passengers onto Fairbanks and beyond. But historians say Fairbanks had a different advantage.
Fairbanks was far more successful politically, which is one of the factors that led to the downfall of Chena within 20 years.
The political success came in the form of influence exercised by the legendary Judge James Wickersham, who convinced federal authorities to build a courthouse in Fairbanks. That's where miners had to go then to stake their claims, and that in turn attracted other gold-related businesses, including some formerly based in Chena. And before long, most of the town's population followed. Railroad tracks were pulled up, and vacant structures were dismantled and salvaged.
Buildings were repurposed, taken to either Fairbanks or Nenana. People moved out, and then Chena was just abandoned.
Several decades later, the state built a day-use picnic park at the town site, but for the most part, it sat empty for nearly a century. Then, 7 years ago, UAF researchers Josh Ruther and Scott Shira began excavating the site. And in May, Cram and his students picked up where Ruther and Shira left off.
We found glass bottles. We found leather boots that we tentatively will place with the Chena era. A ton of metal nails that are, of course, one of the hallmarks of historic archaeological sites.
One of the UAF undergrads working at the site says excavating and analyzing all those artifacts has deepened her appreciation for anthropology, and it's convinced Sherry Karakomi to apply for grad school to continue studying the subject.
It helps me understand a lot more about cultural anthropology and how they lived, based on their culture and things that are left behind, their structures, their small artifacts, big artifacts.
The students have cataloged most of the artifacts they collected during the archaeological field school, which ended late last month. Cram says he and Ruther and Shira are analyzing their findings and compiling a detailed report, which they plan to present at this year's Alaska Historical Society meeting and a National Historical Archaeology Conference in Philadelphia next year. After that, they plan to publish their findings in academic journals. At the Chena town site near Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.